WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
And a very good evening, and I do mean evening. No ifs, ands, or buts about it with the rain and the darkness. Yeah. No longer afternoon. We're in it. We're in it right now. And welcome to Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. October 30th, it is National Text Your Ex Day. Now, I gotta admit, I talked about it. I mentioned it to a woman friend that I was going to reach out, but I didn't do it. I completely forgot everything else that was going on today just entered my head, and I forgot to text my ex. I'm sure she'll get over it. I'm sure I'll get over it. How are you doing today? What else is going on? Let's see. 1941. FDR approves a $1 billion lend-lease with an aid package to the Allied nations. So even back in the 1940s, and this would be October 30th, so this was a little bit more than a month before the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and FDR is throwing $1 billion around. Hey, here's an aid package for you. 1953, Eisenhower approved a top secret document concerning the maintenance of a strong nuclear deterrent against the Soviet Union. If it's such a secret, how come folks know about it? How come I'm able to talk about it? That was back in 1953. Nat Turner, you've probably heard the name, Nat Turner, arrested for leading the bloodiest slave rebellion in U.S. history. And I thought about that for a while, and I'm saying, really? 1831, then I thought, it does say slave rebellion. So there were other rebellions that happened after 1865, after slavery had ended in the United States, which were more bloodier. But when Nat Turner was arrested for the slave rebellion during slavery, that was the bloodiest in U.S. history. The Brian's Beat quote of the day: love what you do. There's always going to be someone else who's smarter than you, but there's no substitute for passion. People who are passionate always work the hardest, and that sets them apart. Pretty long quote. Love what you do. There's always going to be someone else who's smarter than you, but there's no substitute for passion. People who are passionate always work the hardest, and that sets them apart. Ivanka Trump, with today's quote. Where do I want to start? And there is a lot going on. Going to take you back to a topic we brought up last night. I was actually having a conversation with my son today. The two women, 37-year-old Olivia Byrd, 28-year-old Regine Byrd, the two women caught taking food from a market basket in West Bridgewater, getting verbal. We didn't hear the verbiage, but apparently they got verbal with store employees. And you can see one of them, I don't know which one, if it was Regine or Olivia, but throwing punches and pushing the store employee. And the store employee, I guess, has been trained pretty well, because every time that whichever bird it was, he knew enough not to counter. He would try to go away and the conversation would continue, and whichever bird would again go to attack. You can see this video. It's up on, probably on Facebook too, but I saw it on YouTube. The part that I want to get into today deals with the two women. They had their day in court yesterday. I want to make sure I have the dates right. I think they had their day in court on Tuesday. And they were released on their own recognizance. So in other words, they didn't have to pay anything to get out of jail. And I was saying to my son, I can't believe it. And my son was trying to use the logical approach that maybe a bail bondsman wouldn't want to pay for their bail. And I'm thinking, a bail bondsman wants money. But be that as it may, I'm expecting these women to show up in the court. So why wouldn't a bail bondsman bail them out? But more to the point, why would a judge just let them go on their own? That's where I was really coming from, because what kind of point are you setting? You know, it's one thing. Really, it's one thing. And it's still bad to do it, but to steal the food, that's bad. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's really no excuse. And we can say, yeah, feeding your kids, whatever. But you're not feeding your kids a ribeye. You're not saying, hey, kids, I know you're hungry. How about some lobster meat with a little truffle butter to go with it? So, I don't know. I'm standing by it. I'm curious as to your thought. Do you think that the judge should have levied some type of bail, $500, $1,000, $5,000, instead of just letting these women go on their own? Again, at least one of them physically accosted more than once a store employee. To me, you got to think twice about it. You know, plus the stealing. How do you prevent it from happening again? The other side, what's $500? It's $500 that the person doesn't have at that particular time. That's my thought. So one side is there should have been some type of bail. The other side is no, not necessary in this particular case. If you're the bail bondsman, you want to try chasing these women around for the money because you don't think they're going to show up in court. I don't know. I think they are going to. Well, we'll find out, won't we? We'll find out if they do indeed. Do you think they're going to go to court? One's 37, the other's 28. They are, needless to say, very heavy set women. It's not like they can hide in the closet. 508-996-0500. John Deaton. John Deaton is the Republican who came in from, I think, Rhode Island and made camp here in the Commonwealth and decided he was going to run against Elizabeth Warren a couple of years, last year, right? 24, yeah, last year. And he was unsuccessful. I think he got 40% of the vote from Massachusetts voters. Deaton is thinking about running again. to the best of my knowledge, at this particular time, there is no declared Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, the seat that Ed Markey currently holds. I wasn't too crazy about Deaton's campaign against Elizabeth Warren. I didn't think, I'm surprised he got 40% of the vote. It could have been the temperature here in the Commonwealth that got him up to 40%, but she got 60. So it begs the question, and of course it keeps coming up. I don't know why nobody says anything about age discrimination, but you've got Ed Markey, who is 79, and I think he'll be 80 by the time the election rolls around next year. A year in what? A year in less than a week? I think the reason Seth Moulton is running in a primary race against Ed Markey is A, he would love the seat. He'd love to be a U.S. senator. Can't take that away from him. B, there is some competition. Remember, in 2024, the Democrats on the national level didn't put up anybody against Joe Biden, so there was no primary. And then, well, we saw how Kamala Harris got in there. So I think the Democrats here in the Commonwealth want to make sure something like that doesn't happen. Not that they think that Ed Markey is going to falter his way through the primary, but they're hedging their bet. They believe Markey can win, but who really knows the temperature gauge of the voters here in the Commonwealth? And so you put Seth Moulton into the race. Let's say Moulton wins. They believe, and I have to agree with them, that Moulton can beat Deaton. And you can't really use that age gauge if Ed Markey's not in it. You've got Moulton, who is young, military veteran, presses the right button. Isn't he the one that actually spoke out against some of the things that the Democratic Party was supporting leading in to the 24 election? So you've got this guy, John Deaton. It might be a tight race if Deaton ran against Markey. I believe, not that I want this, but I believe it would be a blowout if it's Seth Moulton against John Deaton. I don't think that Deaton would have a prayer. A lot of people don't agree with that, but you show me how in this heavily Democratic state, how if Seth Moulton is able to beat Markey, and I think you're looking at a pretty tight race here. I think you're looking at a pretty tight race come 2026. And I think Seth Moulton, you know, depends on the type of race he runs. I think he can beat out Markey in a primary. And if he does, do you really think John Deaton has a chance? I'm asking you. How? On what coattail does he run on? 508-996-0500. John Deaton. And as long as I'm talking politics, the Working Families Party. What a great name. The Working Families Party. I don't know, but wouldn't it be easier to say the Labor Party? But you've got the Working Families Party, which really isn't a party. I mean, they're a group of people. They are political. They are people mainly from, they feel like they're disenfranchised from the Democratic Party. And I can understand that. But it's my feeling, my gut feeling, that the Democratic Party is reshaping itself. They aren't going to be the mainstream kind of progressive. I think I heard Barry earlier today, and he was saying that these folks are extremists and radical. And I get the language. I really do get the language. But what makes, you know, to me, an extremist is somebody that might throw a rock through your window because you don't believe in what they're talking about. You don't believe their platform. I don't know that this so-called Working Families Party is like that. As much as I don't like Elizabeth Warren, I don't think of Elizabeth Warren as somebody who's going to throw a rock through a window. As much as I don't like Maura Healey, I don't think of Maura Healey. I don't think of Ayanna Pressley. I don't think of the sheriff of Bristol County, Paul Hero or Hero. I don't think of these people as extremists. I think that their political persuasion is held different than mine, but I don't think they're extremists. And so that's extremist right there. Now let's talk about radical. What makes somebody a radical? You can throw around terms, and believe me on this. Folks were throwing around the terms when it came to the Black Muslims, the Black Panthers, Dr. King. Forget the first two. Let's go to Dr. King. It was radical what Dr. King was espousing back in the late 50s and 1960s. Today, the United States of America has a holiday in the guy's honor. And his views, they don't seem so radical 50, 60 years later. Now, I know that's a long time, but we've had the holiday for quite some time, too. So, if this Working Families Party is radical, what was the Tea Party in 2010 and 2012? Weren't they radical rightist? Were they extremist? I don't recall Tea Party members breaking windows. My point, the Tea Party and folks in this Working Families Party, they have something in common. They're speaking to people that feel disenfranchised. They are on polar opposites. Donald Trump, Trump did the same thing when he got into the presidential race. He was polar opposite from the Democrats, but he was also speaking a different language than the Republican candidates. Remember that? You know it. You heard it. You saw it. And this Working Families Party, I don't really like a lot of the things that they're saying. I like the fact that they're out there. I like the fact that they're trying to muscle their way in. They're not getting my vote. But you know what? They are striking a chord. Again, the sheriff of Bristol County got toppled after, what, 26, 28 years? It's a long time. These people backed Elizabeth Warren. And without really getting up there and shouting hooray, they're making sure that Maura Healey stays governor. They are certainly left-leaning, politically left-leaning than the traditional Democratic Party. But I think there are a lot of people that feel like the Democrats aren't doing something for them, and I think they're absolutely correct. But they're not looking to the Republicans, and they're certainly not going MAGA Republican. So I think that this party is going to be making some noise. I don't know if Seth Moulton falls in. I don't know where Markey falls in with any of this. But I think that there are lots of people. I can only guess that the Working Families Party, this is a guess, they're probably for universal health care. They probably want the food stamps. They probably want more regulation of utility bills. And I could go on and on and on. They probably want more workers' rights in the workplace. They probably want whatever a living wage is all about. And they don't feel that they're getting it from Bacon Hill lawmakers or the lawmakers, the Democrats in Washington, D.C. All right, your thoughts, 508-996-0500. Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
How you doing?
I am. How are you?
You know, you're probably going to get a lot of sound bites. Look up Andrew Cuomo's recent interview on PBS Frontline, where he talks about the Democratic Party, how the extreme, and we've been talking about this for a long time, the extreme left, the Democrat Socialists of America, which Zoran Mamdani is a member of, how he went on saying that the Democratic Party would at some point going to fail to exist because they're just so extreme. But you'll be able to pull up some good sound bites for your bumpers there. Frontline, PBS, the most recent interview with Andrew Cuomo, the candidate, as an independent, mind you, for this election coming up November 4th. I think it was probably this week or last week. You'll be able to look it up. But it's got nothing to do with Ed Markey's age. It's his politics. He's not in line with the people of New Bedford. It wasn't it New Bedford like that 50% of the city, the people in the city of New Bedford on SNAP. It was also in Newsmax.
What? Whoa. Back up. What did you say?
That according to New Bedford Light, 50% of the residents of New Bedford are on SNAP.
Really?
Benefits.
Because I thought I read something and it said 19%.
I thought it was 50%. Well, maybe I heard wrong, but I heard on your radio station.
Huh. Wow.
59%.
50%,
Go ahead. I meant to say Newsmax just reported that 59% of recipients on SNAP are illegal aliens.
Well, if it comes from Newsmax, I don't know that I'm going to qualify that statement.
Well, if they're using the federal government's numbers, because you know when you collect food stamps, or should I say the SNAP card, all that information gets crunched in the database.
But how would, again, when you get food stamps, are they asking, are you here legally or not here legally?
I would think so, and I would think that they also ask, the background and,
Hold that thought for a second. If there's anyone that is on Snap. I am curious, when you go to do whatever paperwork, did they ask you if you are a U.S. citizen? Do they ask you if you're documented or whatever? I'm really curious. All right, go ahead.
They ask the legal status. Are you a citizen? You got a green card? Or they ask all of that stuff.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So that's
how do they get away
that's
with that?
Data.
They're
using the federal government's data. But very quickly, Brian, this whole thing with a shutdown could be over and done with. All you need is 5 votes from the Senate. Has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This is the Senate's job to do their job. 13 times the Democrats have rejected the proposals to open the U.S. government so that federal workers can get paid and the SNAP benefits can be given out to those in need. 13 times the Democrats, including the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. We need 5 Democratic votes. I'll tell you who they are. One of them is Ed Markey, Liz Warren, Jack Reed from Rhode Island, Sheldon Whitehouse from Rhode Island, and Senator Iona Presley. There you go. You got your 5. But Maura Healey is lying, sending messages to everybody saying it's Donald Trump that's cutting your benefits on November 1st. Which is a big lie. And then you have State Attorney General
Andrea Campbell.
Yeah, Andrea Campbell and 12 other states' attorney generals coming after Trump when it's the senators that are they're not following through on their obligation to vote on this. And they want to use this SNAP to get the $1.5 trillion extension of Medicaid or Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, that they had said would go from 2020 to 2026 because of the COVID extension. At 1.5 trillion to give out insurance to illegal aliens.
All right.
This is what this is all about.
Go ahead and finish up.
We're being lied to by Liz Warren and Ed Markey and Sheldon Whitehouse. And the other guy there, Jack Reed, and Iona Presley lying to us. They have 5 votes that put an end to this.
I wouldn't count on a vote from Iona Presley because, for one thing, she is in the House of Representatives. She is not a U.S. Senator. 508-996-0500. Look, I think we realize by now this whole thing dealing with the government shutdown, the Democrats and the Republicans, they're playing chess. They're looking to see, at best, who's going to call uncle first. And then the ones that are the deep thinkers, they're trying to figure out how this is going to play out for the 2026 election and beyond. 508-996-0500. Getting back to the Working Families Party. I think the more parties that we have, and you try to figure out what each party stands for if you have the time and inclination, the better off we are as a nation. People are going to vote who they want, as opposed to, well, I guess I'm going to vote for the Democrat, or I guess I'm going to vote for the Republican. I'm looking at what I can see and feel about the Working Families Party and say, they're not for me. Just like many people say, the Libertarian Party isn't for them, but it is for me. And that's what we're supposed to do, vote how we feel, what we want or would like to see. So all the power to them. I think the Working Families Party, they've pretty much told us what their agenda is going to be. According to this guy, Wolfson, who is really Josh Wilson. He is the state director here. Wilson says, we want to be reaching and organizing and building a significant structure here. Part of what that means is I'm not thinking one election ahead or the next bill we want to get passed. The goal is long-term governing power. And let's face it, 65, thereabouts, 65% of Bay State voters, people that are registered as unenrolled. They have no party affiliation. Probably, look, I was a Republican at one particular time. I left the Republican Party decades ago, but I went Libertarian. And there are many other Republicans and their Democrats that left the Democratic Party to go Libertarian. There are Democrats that left to go unenrolled. There are Democrats that left and they're more socialist. That's okay. I don't necessarily agree with what socialists want. I'm not a socialist. I don't care for socialism. I think we have gotten to a particular point here in this country where we have accepted socialism and figure it as everyday life. And the biggest part of it, the largest part of it, is what people call public schools, government-operated schools. That is socialism in education. All right, let's hear from you. Hello. Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes.
I want to start the conversation off by telling you thank you for coming in this horrible rainy weather. It's been raining so much and hard. I don't know from Dartmouth to, you know, the radio station how much flooding there will be when you go back home, especially in the Dares and everything. So yeah, I just want to thank you for showing up. And I know there'll be many more nights all around winter. I just want to say thank you for coming in and being there for us.
So, well, you're welcome. Thank you. But I did, to be full honesty, I got in before it started raining.
Okay. Well, you know what? For honesty, I know you always show up 45 minutes to an hour, basically, before your show. So we're giving full honesty here now.
Okay.
What I would like to do, though, Brian, I would like to go back. That previous gentleman that called, he is like he's the fact man. I don't know how he does it or where he gets it from, because I strive to be like him. I want my information. I want my digits and numbers. So when I call in, I've got something to say, like, whoa, there's this many people on SNAP. And he said, how many is on SNAP in New Bedford?
He said 50%.
50%. 50% of 131,000 are we at? Or
no, I think New Bedford, at best, 100 and, let's say, 115.
Okay. So, what I want to know, Brian, is there any way, or is there anybody out there that's listening to us now that one of the city councilors, perhaps, can find this? Oh, man, maybe I should have asked my city councilor this. But anyways, I was just wondering, is there a way we can find out what's the age factor? Since he can find out the number like that, I'm wondering if that's already available. Is there or is not a way where we can find out ready available? Is it 50% seniors? Is it 50%? Like, what is the percentage of disability? What age? How many are young on disability? How many are old? How many are already retired? And how many are collecting it because they're in a bad way? I would love to know, is there a way, Brian, we can get those statistics?
I'm sure the state breaks it down. What I saw, I believe, in the Standard Times, They actually had a breakdown by the worst areas, and the worst was actually Methuen, up in that mm-hmm. area on the North Shore.
Right, and Chelsea,
Fall,
I'm sure.
Fall River was worse than New Bedford.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I'm asking for, do we have the age graphic?
I don't know about the age. I know that they break it down by children, so under 18, and then folks over 65. But I don't know that they break it down 5 and under or 80 and over like that.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't want. Like, well, actually, yeah, obviously you're not 5 and under, Brian. But that demographic age, we know demographically he has 50,000 people in New Bedford itself. I'd like to know how many of those are of 70 and older. And I would, you know what I mean?
I think he said 50%. I don't think he said 50,000.
Right. He did. And I'd like to know, does he have the age for that? Because if you're going to break it down for our city, I want to know how many are legitimately Vietnam veterans, seniors, retired, or disability, and then just some that are in help, in need of help. That's what I want, because I just find it amazing.
You left the big one out.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Don't you want to know how many are documented or undocumented?
Well, we know we'll never get the answer to that, Brian.
Well, but he had the answer. That's what I was questioning. If I didn't realize, again, why would I? But I did not realize mm-hmm. that was out there for public information. I didn't know that information was even collected. That's why I get a kick out of hearing it through the news about all the folks that are undocumented. Is there a box that people are checking off? I know this is a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You find yourself, for whatever reason, you're going down, you're going to apply at the DTA for food stamps. Mm-hmm. If there was a question on there that asked, are you a U.S. citizen? Are you checking it? If you're not.
I don't even think they asked that. I don't
think
that,
that's what I'm getting at.
Because that would be discrimination. I don't think the DTA can ask that, Brian, because it would be discrimination and not allowing
you. I find it hard to believe that you're wrong in stating that. I don't know about discrimination, but certainly something that I think might be against the law.
Would that be like asking me what color I am, asking me how old I am, right? I mean, the application itself might ask.
They might do an age range.
But to ask if I'm a legal, if I'm a legal citizen, mm-hmm. not legal citizen, I think I find that to be discriminatory. I don't know. I feel like that could be inappropriate. I don't see the DTA, because that's like treading on, I don't know, Brian. See, now here we go.
Well,
there's,
you know what? I know how to find out that answer, and I will work on that. See if we can get that in for tomorrow's show.
What I would like to know is how many people in our city, since he got that 50... whatever. I'd like to know how many is that is over the age of 65. How many are retired? I mean, I want the whole statistics, because I feel like sometimes when people get this number, today on a certain show, I won't say who, they said how many millions of people there are in the state of Massachusetts on this. But I said to myself, yeah, but how many are truly disabled veterans? How many are I've been in a car accident and young and is disabled. And how many are, I want it broken down. There's got to be a way, because if Doge can do all this, Doge must know the numbers. And why can't we find those numbers for our citizens?
I would not hold my hat on Doge, but we'll see what we can do. All right.
Yeah, I'd love for you. I know if anybody can do it, it's you, Brian.
I don't know about that, but I appreciate the thought.
Well, yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you. 508-996-0500. Brian's Beat on WBSM.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
This is WBSM.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At legitimate business funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find legitimate business funders online at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rate you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. That's 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson.
Thank you, Mark. Next.
But we're going to be returning education very simply back to the states where it belongs. And this is a very popular thing to do, but much more importantly, it's a common sense thing to do.
Welcome back. I was reading in the New Bedford Light a couple of articles. One did state that nearly half of New Bedford households rely on SNAP. And then another story that it bled into, or I guess linked to, says in Mass District 9, and I'm going to take that as Congressional District 9, SNAP serves 44,230 households. Now, there are a lot more than 44,230 households in the area, but be that as it may, let's go back to your calls. Thank you and hello.
Hello, Snappy.
Hey.
So I was just looking at SNAP benefits because I haven't participated in this program, but it's mostly an income, an asset requirement to meet for SNAP, and it is capped at 130% of the federal poverty level. And then a lot of it goes through your monthly income and asset limits and things like that. But it also requires that you have work or that you are seeking work or seeking training. So it's not something that you're going to be able to get if you're sitting at home on the couch, I guess. But it also does say that citizenship, household members must be U.S. citizens or meet certain non-citizen requirements. And all eligible household members must have and supply their Social Security number. So I'm reading right from the SNAP.
Right, but do they actually ask a person if they are a citizen? I heard you read that part, but is there like a box that you check, or are they counting on the fact that people are going to just be truthful about it?
I don't see anything here that says that, but I mean, you're going to have to provide a Social Security number, my guess is, on a form somewhere. Maybe it's a made-up one or something, but generally you're not getting a Social Security number if you're not a citizen. Although it says certain non-citizen, or says meet, or you could participate if you meet certain non-citizen requirements.
Yeah, if you get a green card, you can get a Social Security number.
Yeah, green card. Funny. Anyway, I was I didn't know much about SNAP, but yeah, it seems like a lot of people in the U.S. are on it. I think they should do, and you probably would approve of this being a libertarian. And by the way, the Libertarian Party right now has probably the best chance ever in its history of being recognized as a national party and getting a lot of people to pay attention, because there's so many people now in the middle that are defecting from the Democratic Party towards the independent. The independents are growing rapidly, and man, this is no other time like right now for Libertarian Party to reach out to those people, because everyone's looking for another, you know, or not, I shouldn't say everybody. There's a lot of people looking for another direction since the left has gone super left and is really is heading towards becoming more of a socialist party the way it's going. So
I think that's a very good point. I don't know, yep. You know, you've got to have the right people out pitching it. And that's part of the problem. Anyway, thank you for that. Yeah. Only because of time, I'm going to let you go. But yeah. I do appreciate the call. All right. Well, that's our show for today. I do appreciate all the calls. And we're going to do it again tomorrow, weather permitting. Don't forget, tomorrow's Halloweeny.
You never change things by fighting existing reality. To change something, you must build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete.
WBSM.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At Legitimate Business Funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find Legitimate Business Funders online at LegitimateBusinessFunders.com. LegitimateBusinessFunders.com.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
Don't you need to uphold the Constitution of the United States as president?
I don't know.
I want to thank Christina. She sent me a DTA form. It does ask, are you a U.S. citizen? Even if you are not a U.S. citizen, you or other household members may still be eligible. And you can actually check yes or no. Does ask for a Social Security number if you are applying. If you're not applying, then you don't need to give a Social Security number. Why would you have a number? 58 in Tiverton, 57.